Disc 2.
Now I think, looking back so far into my past, I've probably changed that night's events. There was a feast. Ivar and Ubba were there. Egbert was trying to look like a king. Ravan was kind to me, but I'm sure I was more confused and far more frightened than I've made it sound. Yet, in other ways, my memories of the feast are very precise. Watch and learn, my father had told me. And Ravan made me watch, and I did learn. I learned about treachery, especially when Ragnar, summoned by Ravan, took me by the collar and led me to the high dais, where, after a surly gesture of permission from Ivar, I was allowed to approach the table. Lord King, I squeaked, then knelt so that a surprised Egbert had to lean forward to see me. I am Uhtred of Bebbanburg. I had been coached by Ravan in what I should say. And I seek your lordly protection. That produced silence, except for the mutter of the interpreter talking to Ivar. Then Ubba awoke, looked startled for a few heartbeats as if he was not sure where he was. Then he stared at me, and I felt my flesh shrivel, for I had never seen a face so malevolent. He had dark eyes, and they were full of hate, and I wanted the earth to swallow me. He said nothing, just gazed at me, and touched a hammer-shaped amulet hanging at his neck. Ubba had his brother's thin face, but instead of fair hair drawn back against the skull, he had bushy black hair and a thick beard that was dotted with scraps of food. Then he yawned, and it was like staring into a beast's maw. The interpreter spoke to Ivar, who said something, and the interpreter in turn talked to Egbert, who tried to look stern. Your father, he said, chose to fight us. And is dead, I answered, tears in my eyes, and I wanted to say something more. But nothing would come, and instead I just snivelled like an infant, and I could feel Ubba's scorn like the heat of a fire. I coughed angrily at my nose. We shall decide your fate, Egbert said loftily, and I was dismissed. I went back to Ravan, who insisted I tell him what had happened, and he smiled when I described Ubba's malevolent silence. He's a frightening man, Ravan agreed. To my certain knowledge, he's killed 16 men in single combat, and dozens more in battle, but only when the auguries are good, otherwise he won't fight.
The auguries?
Ubba is a very superstitious young man, Ravan said, but also a dangerous one. If I give you one piece of advice, young Uhtred, it is never, never to fight Ubba. Even Ragnar would fear to do that, and my son fears little.
And Ivar? I asked. Would your son fight Ivar?
The boneless one?
Ravan considered the question.
He too is frightening, for he has no pity, but he does possess sense. Besides, Ragnar serves Ivar if he serves anyone, and they're friends, so they would not fight. But Ubba? Only the gods tell him what to do. And you should beware of men who take their orders from the gods. Cut me some of the crackling, boy. I particularly like pork crackling.
I cannot remember now how long I was in Jofurik. I was put to work, that I do remember. My fine clothes were stripped from me and given to some Danish boy, and in their place I was given a flea-ridden shift of tattered wool that I belted with a piece of rope. I cooked Ravan's meals for a few days. Then the other Danish ships arrived and proved to hold mostly women and children, the families of the victorious army. And it was then I understood that these Danes had come to stay in Northumbria. Ravan's wife arrived, a big woman called Gudrun with a laugh that could have felled an ox, and she chivied me away from the cooking fire that she now tended with Ragnar's wife, who was called Sigrid, and whose hair reached to her waist and was the colour of sunlight reflecting off gold.